Okay, so last week, Pastor Jeff actually started a new teaching series called Gaining by Losing. And so much of this concept is really wrapped around the fact that many of us, as we try to figure out what we're gonna do with our life, how we should prioritize our life, all of those things kind of come to a head, sometimes against what Jesus is strongly recommending. And so, for instance, like it's kind of normal for us to think, I have to build up my life, I need to accumulate and achieve and make these things happen and save and protect. And like all of that's a very normal mindset, except Jesus is often saying, actually, you should lay down your life. You should serve with your life. You should surrender your life. It's very different language. And Jesus is trying to help us realize that there is power, there is hope, there is transformation available in what he is trying to help us understand about who we are, our mission in life, and our connection with God. And so how can we look at some of the things that maybe we're trying to gain in life and realize actually if we let go of them, if we lose them, God might be able to do something far more powerful than we'd be able to dream up on our own. And so we're gonna spend the next several weeks kind of looking at things like what it means to lose control, what it means to lose comfort, and what it means to let go of all the things that we think are ours. That sounds fun, right? All right, it's gonna be a blast. But this week, I wanna dig into a pretty foundational place. But I want to start it with a verse that Jeff mentioned briefly last week. He talked about the idea that's found in 2 Timothy, that there's many people that will do religious things but deny the godly power that's available to them. In other words, I read it like this. There are many of us that will try to do the right things religiously, or we'll try to do the right behaviors, but we still lack God's power showing up in our lives. I would assume that most of us have some type of thing that we would love to see change in our life. It's kind of the human experience. We would love something inside of us to change, to get stronger, to go away, to have more control over, something we need to overcome. There's something inside of us we would love to see altered, changed, or way better, or even removed. And many of us would also love to see our lives have a great external purpose, an impact among those that we love and beyond. We want our lives to count for something. But without the power of God, the needle is just simply not going to move on those things that we want. So what I would like to do this weekend is take a look at a couple of key concepts found in one of Jesus's teachings. This is one of my favorite passages in the scripture. And to be quite honest, we could probably spend months just in these 8 verses. But if you have a Bible with you, let's go ahead and turn open to John chapter 15. We're gonna be in John chapter 15, right at the beginning of that chapter. If you don't have a Bible with you, that's fine, though I love it when we can get into the scriptures ourselves because God really is trying to interact with you, but I will have it on the screen for the purposes of our teaching this morning. John chapter 15 and verse 1, this is Jesus speaking. He says, I'm the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message that I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, and this brings great glory to my Father. I love when Jesus tells a story or uses language that really helps us understand a concept more vividly. And I think there's so much to unpack here. But let's go back to verse 4 when Jesus says, remain in me and I will remain in you. I think this is much less metaphorical than it might sound at first. Truly, I think Jesus is trying to help us understand this idea of what it means to remain, what it means to abide, and what it means to live here, set up shop, set up our home in and with Jesus. He wants us to understand what that looks like. If you were following along in that passage, there's multiple times where he says something to the effect of remain in me. remain in me, remain in me. And when someone like Jesus is repeating something over and over, it's very much for emphasis' sake. There's something powerful there. So I want to break this concept down two different ways. And the first one is stay with it. Now, I know that just blew all of your minds. Like, I had no idea that remain would mean stay with it. But hear me out. As simple as that is to understand in the English language, how hard is this to understand when it comes to practice and experience? Many times when we find ourselves trying to make a pathway forward with some area of our life, when it starts to go in a way that we didn't expect, or it starts to get super uncomfortable, or it starts to get difficult, or the progress doesn't come as fast as we wanted, many of us are tempted to start backing away from that process because maybe this isn't working out the way that it promised it should. It happens this way a lot if you've flown a bunch. I know many of us have flown a lot. This is kind of what happens with layovers, right? Layovers are so annoying. Maybe they're necessary, but you never know what to do for sure in a layover. Like, on one hand, they're too short, right? And so there you are in row 27 and you're trying to wait for the people to get out of the plane in front of you because you have a plane to catch. And it's like they forgot that they have people behind you. Like, oh yeah, well, oh, I think I have a bag. I think I should probably open it. You know what I'm saying? You know, and they open it up and then they're like, hey, can you help me get this out? My shoulders got, you know, it's like, get out of the plane. You know, it's just like that happens to us because the layover is so tight, I have to go catch my flight. Or sometimes it's the exact opposite. Get like a 6-hour layover. And you're like, am I supposed to go walk around the town? Should I leave the airport? Like, should I go? Do I have time to go do that? Should I take a nap? And all of a sudden you're trying to navigate all of the time that you have, and it makes the worry on the back end show up because you're like, did I sleep past the boarding time? It just gets wonky. Layovers are this like unfortunate, necessary evil, right? Now, at any point in time that we would decide to give up on the process during a layover, we're actually shooting ourselves in the foot, because one thing's for certain, they're going to get you where you're supposed to go. Even if there's a bunch of delays, even if you have to get rerouted, even if all these things happen, they will get you to your destination. One of our pastors here, John, he's our missions pastor. He's flying all over all the time for different things. And he's got so many layover stories, it sounds like it's one of those it's me, it's not you type of dating scenarios. Like, one time he was late arriving to a mission field to catch up with the rest of the team because there was volcanic ash. And I'm like, all right, bro, I get it. You don't want to go on the trip. If you're just going to make up excuses as to why you got delayed, right? Like, but he really has had all of these things happen to him, but he's still got there. So many times, Jesus is trying to do something, show you something, do a work in your life. And because we don't love how it's playing out in the middle, we're tempted to not stay with it. We're tempted to bail. I'm not learning as fast. This isn't clicking fast enough. This isn't helping. I still have these struggles. And so we want to bail. And what Jesus is saying is, remain in me and you will bear fruit. I will get you through this. When Jesus says remain in me, he wants us to stick it out. The second thing I think is so important when it comes to remain, abiding, or living here is this idea of not compartmentalizing. By the way, I love this English word because it's probably one of the longest English words we have where like everybody knows what it means. It's like one of those, you like write it out. It's even easy to spell. And you're like, I'm so smart. Like, look at all these letters. But anyway, don't compartmentalize. Listen, I understand that most of us don't reject God. After all, you're sitting in a church. You probably don't want to reject God. However, many of us, I think we assign him to different categories of our life. You see, when it comes to things like, should I focus while I'm at church? That's a no-brainer. I'm at church. This is kind of what I set my Sunday morning up to be. This is why I'm here. I want to focus on, or you're filling out an application. You're filling out a survey. What religion are you? Oh, I don't mind standing up for Jesus. I'm a Christian. Like, it's easy to focus on Jesus and give him those compartments of our lives. But what about all of our life decisions? Okay, Jesus, you know, you can have these parts of my life, but like, who I'm gonna date? I'm like, I mean, God, have you ever dated anybody? Do you even understand the 2026 scene right now? Like, I'll handle my dating life on my own, thank you very much. I'm not really sure you understand how this plays out, so I'm gonna do it. Where I'm gonna get a job? I mean, like, you talk about things like farming and vines, and I have my professor lining me up with, I have another promotion lined up. Like, obviously, it's right there. I should just take this. Or I've been out of work for months. God, obviously, you're not helping me yet, so I'll just put this one in my own hands, and you can handle the Jesus stuff, the church stuff. You can have that. I'm all in here, but this stuff's mine. Your priorities, your browser history. I mean, we could go on and on and on about the ways in which God can have this area of my life, but this one's gonna be mine. Compartmentalization is so dangerous, and God is trying to help us to bust out of that. There's two reasons why compartmentalization is so dangerous, and one of them is it's one of the first things to derail any of your hopes and dreams. No matter what goal you have, if you compartmentalize your decisions, here I'm gonna be on it and here I'm not, you're going to mess with your progress. You can't floss once a month and go to the dentist and say, check me out, I handled all of, you can't eat a salad once a year and say, look at me, I'm eating healthy. You can't work out once a quarter and say, look how fit I am. Like, all, no matter what goal you have, the more you compartmentalize and say, here's where I'm on target and here's where I'm not, you're stunting all of that progress simply because we're not trying to be consistent. It's consistency that wins, and it's staying that matures. It's remaining in Christ that will change your life. Compartmentalization is also super dangerous when it comes to our relationships. If there's a work version of you and a friend version of you and a family version of you and a church version of you, it's exhausting at best trying to remember which version of your persona you're supposed to be, what phrases you can say, how intense you can be or not be, the type of for always trying to be different people, our relationships are either gonna remain super, super shallow or it's gonna be the first thing that begins to erode the different sectors because we can't seem to keep it all together. It's consistency that wins, staying that matures, and it's remaining in Christ that's gonna change your life. You see, this whole idea of remaining, abiding, and living here, what Jesus is trying to get across, and this is bold, but what he's trying to say is that Jesus is life. Jesus is life. He's not trying to say, just sprinkle a little bit of me on this area of your life and it's all gonna get better. Matter of fact, one of my least favorite things in our like kind of Christian-y culture that's out there right now, and I get it, it's great for your aesthetic and it looks great on Instagram, but whenever like the mugs or the crew necks say things like, all I need is a little bit of coffee and a little bit of Jesus, I'm just like, no, like you and your relationship with coffee, that's on you, but you don't need a little bit of Jesus. You need as much Jesus as you can possibly get, and that's true for all of us. Jesus is life. The scripture points and proves to it over and over and over again how much Jesus is the center of all things. All things were created by him, through him, for him. Jesus says himself, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He is the bread of life. He is the living water. We cannot survive. Our breath is in his hands. It's in his will. I just need a little bit of life. Jesus is the key. So Jesus isn't saying, wouldn't it be neat if you had this little bit of an add-on, this little bit of a neat thing? Like, what if we actually grabbed a hold of the source of life to begin with? And what if when we remained and abided and stayed there with him, what if that produced much fruit? Well, what is that fruit? I'm glad you asked. Another favorite passage of mine is in Galatians chapter 5. You might be very familiar with it if you've been a believer for a while, but it says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. It's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's gentleness and self-control. There's no law against these things. These would be wonderful. If we could all be more of these things, I think we would all be so excited about it. Imagine all the things happening in your life. The mental health that you feel like you have or don't have right now. the relationships that you're trying to manage, the way in which you handle all of the stress coming your way, if you could be more loving, if you could have more joy, if you could be full of more peace, if people knew you to be faithful, if they knew that you're like, that person is just, they're just a good person. Imagine the scenarios where instead of kind of losing your cool, you could actually bring a calmness and a gentleness to that scenario. All of these different things that God wants to, he wants to build into you. If you remain in me, if you abide with me, if you set up shop and stay here with me, I will help you bear much fruit. Much fruit. You see, Jesus is life. And if you want him to change your life, whatever those internal pressures are, whatever those internal failures are that you're trying to overcome, whatever those things are, if we remain in him and we do it consistently, he will help us discover that fruit. But what happens if we don't do that consistently? Well, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. When we find ourselves separated from the vine, if we're not attached to life, we are going to wither. And some of us, we feel that. We feel dead on the vine. We feel so like scrunched out of all of the things and all of the strength that we could possibly muster. And when someone says, be more loving, you're like, I can't. And there's a chance that it's because we're not consistently connected to the vine and we're starting to feel the effects of what it means to wither. But when we remain in him and his words, and they remain in you, you can ask for anything you want and it will be granted. This passage sparked a conversation this week with me and one of our teammates, and she was talking about how she gets mad at her mom about once a year, and that all comes from when she asks her mom, Mom, what do you want for your birthday? And mom says something to the effect of, oh, I don't know that I want much, honey, just I would love to spend time with you. Which is like the most mom response ever. You know, it's just like, well, of course, mom, you just wanna spend time with your offspring, but what do you want for your birthday? You know, she says, no, really, like, I just wanna spend time with you, mom. Like, she's like, literally, I'll get angry, like, just tell me what you want so I can get you something for your birthday. And she's like, you're not listening. What I actually want is to spend time with you. And I get that, actually, the more and more I thought about it. Because when I think of my birthday, I mean, if you got me my absolute top of the wish list gift, and I got like the meal of a lifetime, but I did it alone, I probably wouldn't think much of that birthday experience. As a matter of fact, a version of that happened to me just this last year. I spent my birthday in Las Vegas, not because of typical Las Vegas reasons. My birthday just happened to be the day that the Cleveland Browns played the Raiders in Vegas, and me and some college buddies went out to that game. And I had the norm of like people texting me on my birthday or people doing the Facebook thing where they don't really type in anything. They just click the option that says happy birthday, exclamation points, party hat, heart, you know, like kind of stuff. I'm like, oh. You shouldn't have. And so like that happened, right? But my college buddies, this is normal, right? I don't know if you know all of your like college buddies' birthdays off the top of your head. They forgot and or didn't know it was my birthday. And I'm not gonna be that guy that's like, it's my birthday. Like I'm just not that guy, right? And so it was the first time, I turned 43 years old. It was the first time in 43 years that no one to my face said happy birthday. And it was, I know. It's November 23rd if you want to mark it down. like no one said it. And it was fine. I didn't like break down, but I'm like, that was weird. It was weird. And it made me realize how much I resonate with this mom who's like, I just want to spend time, like what I wanted for my birthday. Now, ironically, I got to go to a Browns game with some of my best friends. But what I wanted was for the people that I'm close to and that I love and I want to be with him. I think we do the same thing with God. I think we ask God, what do you want for your birthday? God, what do you want from me? And he says, what I want from you is to spend time with you. And our response to some version, well, no. Like, but God, what do you want me to do? Well, I was hoping that we could remain. If you remain in me and I in you, I'll help you bear much fruit. I'm gonna change your life. No, but God, like, for real, like, what should I do? How about you and I? No. Like, should I, like, do I need, like, 5 verses in the mornings? Do I need to, like, how many things do I need to pray for so that you feel like I'm actually acknowledging you? Like, how many times do I need to, like, come to church to make sure that, like, I'm kind of still in and I'm not, like, he's like, no. Time. And if you think about it, do we really want a gift from someone that doesn't even want to spend time with us in the first place? I mean, imagine getting a birthday gift and someone says, I got this for you so I didn't have to spend any time with you. I got this for you because the alternative was being in your presence, and that sounds worse. So I got you this present to avoid your presence. God, if I can just check the boxes, if I can just do some things to kind of get that out of the way, then I don't actually have to figure out what it means to be with you. And when we say it like that, that sounds ridiculous, but in our practice, does it shake out that way sometimes? And you see, what's interesting about it is when we do actually spend that time with mom, when she actually gets what she wants for her birthday and we actually are in a rhythm of hanging out with mom, or we're in a rhythm of hanging out with your pastor whose birthday is on November 23rd, like when you have those interactions back and forth together, you actually learn, ironically, what they want. And so you pick up from the conversations with mom that she's had her eye on this small handbag, but she doesn't want to spend the money on herself. You catch the idea from mom that she wants to try out this new cafe in town, but she'd love to go with you. That's gonna be what makes it special. It's because you spend the time together with God that you'll begin to learn very naturally what he's asking, and it will become a pleasure to do it for him because you've been spending that time. It's amazing that God knows what he wants. And so here's the hard truth. If we're not doing that, we're gonna feel like we're withering. If we're not trying to align ourselves with the idea to remain, to abide, to stay with God, we're gonna find ourselves feeling as if we're gathered into a pile, as if we don't count anymore. Not because we do, but because God hasn't been close. You see, we want the transformation. We want God to show up in our life. We want God to help us overcome our habits or the addictions or the mental health issues or all the things that we're facing. We want God to show up. We don't lack passion, but a lot of times we lack proximity. We want God, but do we want to be that close to him? Simply put, I can't know who I'm not near. How am I supposed to know God and how he wants to interact with my life if I'm not remaining with and abiding in and setting up shop with God? God wants to transform your life. That's why he's not just giving us these warnings. He's also saying, but here's the thing. If you remain in me and I in you, you will produce much fruit. This isn't a warning saying, ha ha, gotcha, you don't hang out with me enough. He's pointing that out so that he can draw you in. If you do remain in me, I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna pull you along in that process and make the progress in your life. I want you to see what your life on this earth could look like, and I want you to see what it looks like to finally be with me forever in heaven. I want you to know that I am life and I wanna give it to you. Now here's what God does. Here, watch what he works. He's just cooking. Because one of the outcomes of spending time with God is not only internal fruit, it's external fruit. It's the ways in which our lives start to impact others. Because here's the thing, fruit, who's fruit for? It's not for the bearer of the fruit. When a vine loses a grape, the vine doesn't eat the grape, someone else eats the grape. And if no one else eats the grape, you know what else it does? It multiplies. Fruit is always for someone else or to multiply to make things go farther. Fruit is not for the bearer alone. Thinking through this week, I was reminded of watching some really old, like, black and white TV with my grandparents. I can remember, I probably haven't seen this show in 30 years. But somehow this concept reminded me of a TV scene that I saw on a show called I Love Lucy, right? Where Lucy and her friend were working in a chocolate factory and they were packing up small chocolates to be sent out and do whatever chocolate factories do. I don't know, I would just eat them all. But in this video, the chocolate starts coming out at a speed that they can't handle. And so as the chocolate comes out, they're wrapping them and all this is coming their way and they can kind of manage it at first, but then one starts to get by them and they put it in their pocket, put it in their hat, they start shoving it in their shirt. They're trying to figure out, like, where do I put all of this chocolate? And eventually it comes out at such a speed that they cannot handle the speed that all of this is coming their way. I know, it's funny. It's like still funny. It's like 70 years old or whatever and it's still like, good job. Listen, here's the deal. If fruit is all for you, if fruit is all for you, you're gonna get full. You're only gonna start getting interested in the ones that are unique. Like, your shirt's full, your hat's full, your mouth is full, your pockets are full. And so when one comes out that you already have, you're like, let that go by. Oh, but that one looks unique. I'll grab that one. And then you're gonna be frustrated after a while that more is coming anyway. I'm already full, stop sending me more. But you see, here's the thing. If the fruit is for others, you can have your fill, you can put some in your mouth, put a few in your pockets, but if the fruit is for others, you can have your fill and now you're gonna be motivated to give it to other people. You're like, oh, but I have more coming out. So Nate, you want some, right? Oh, okay, Ben, you want some? Okay, like, oh, Marlise, you want some? Like, you just start throwing out the different chocolates around. You're like, I mean, I got what I need. Like, here, have some. I got more fruit coming my way. You want some? And not only are you gonna be motivated to share it with other people, you actually might get frustrated for the opposite reason, because you're like, well, there's so many people I wanna give this fruit to. It's actually not coming fast enough. Like, because I can sit here and like shovel out chocolates, no problem. I don't have to hold on to them. It's not for me. I can help other people have this. I want you to have it. I want you to have it. I want everybody, like, everybody gets more and more of the fruit. When God gives us things, it's not just for us. It's not just for us. It's not always about what we can do with it ourselves. It's about sharing it. It's about helping people with it. It's about giving it away. You see, the gospel is not just for you. The Bible is not just for you, because if it is, you're eventually going to get tired of it. But if it's flowing through you, you're gonna want more and more of it. Sometimes we'll get in these seasons where it just feels like I can't handle all the things that God is sending my way. And sometimes it happens early in our faith journey. It just feels like we're getting blasted with a fire hose and you can't figure out how to take it all at once. And so you're like, hang on a second. I need to back away from this a minute. I can't figure out what's going on. And sometimes it's the opposite end of the spectrum. I've been following Jesus for a long, long time. And you know what? I've heard that before. I've read that passage before. I've had a conversation like this before and I'm not really sure. I'm kind of full right now. And so I'm not really sure I can absorb anymore anyway. And so we start to back away from the fruit that's available to us because we don't know what to do with it anyway. And Jesus is trying to remind us that it's not all about us. It's not all about us. When that fruit comes in, we have to share it. This becomes so obvious in certain places of our life. If you've ever known anyone that grows zucchini, you know it's all about sharing it with other people. You know if people grow zucchini because they've asked you if you want zucchini. Like, that's how zucchini works. There's so much zucchini that someone one time looked at this giant gourd and said, we should make bread out of this. That makes no sense, right? But we're like, well, I have some, so if I put this much zucchini in and then flour and sugar and eggs, look, zucchini bread. Like, it's just like, we're trying to do something with this fruit because it's so plentiful, right? But we can't hoard our gourds. We're actually meant to share these. This is why we're supposed to continue to put them in front of people. There's a guy that goes to our church that he lives this out. It just absolutely flows from him. He is wonderful. When you talk with him, there is just so much natural joy and such a natural gentleness and such a natural, like, kind, tender-hearted person. And I'm not sure that there's anyone that listens better than him. It's just, he's got this gift of, like, if you're talking with him, he's locked in. You have his full attention. And then somehow he can take whatever you're talking about and show you how it applies to something that God's been showing him. He'll be like, oh, you're trying to figure out how to get your avocados riper faster? He's like, you know, it's amazing because, like, God works in this hard pit in the side of us, and then he just will surround it with, like, this nourishment that we all need. I'm like, how did you do that? Like, it's just like, and then he'll tie it to whatever he was reading that morning. He's like, it's just like in Colossians 3. Like, look at this. And you look at it with him, you're like, oh my gosh, it talks about avocados. I didn't know avocados were in Colossians. It's not, all right? But he'll show you how this all connects, and it just flows from him. Never once in one of those conversations, you're gonna be like, dude, back off. You're like trying too hard. You're gonna be like, no, there is something special about you. The time that you have spent with God, it like overflows. And you can't seem to help yourself but show the fruit of the Spirit. And thank you that you didn't just keep that for yourself, but that you allow that to show up in this random conversation about avocados, because somehow I wanted to talk about avocados and you just did something into my soul because the fruit of what God is doing in your life transferred somehow over to me. Somehow, when God helps us to bear fruit, it's for other people. And it's wonderfully ridiculous how it works. The reason this man can't help but talk about who Jesus is because he spends regular time in the presence of God. It's completely overtaken him. It's who he is. Many of us, we might want a version of that. We hope that somehow, in some way, God could do something in our life, that fruit would show up so naturally in us that not only does that show up in how we live, but now we can easily give that to our parents or our families or our coworkers or the other students or whoever's in our life. Suddenly it's not, I'm trying really hard. Suddenly it's like, I just can't wait to show you something God's showing me right now, today, this week. We don't need to try harder. We need to stay closer. It's not that we don't have the passion to see God do something in our life. We're just lacking the proximity to watch him do it. If we're gonna stop compartmentalizing, if we're gonna start remaining in Christ, then we're gonna start to see Jesus bear fruit in our life that maybe we've desired for a very, very long time. And that internal transformation and that meaningful external purpose can begin to show up in your life in a way that maybe you never thought possible. But it all starts with remaining in Christ through our days and our weeks. Now, some of you, as I say something like, you need to remain in Christ, that's a no-brainer. You're like, okay, I think I know exactly what I need to do. But some of you are like, I don't know what to do. So I wanna give you a couple of handles here. First of all, I wanna highly encourage you to start your days with invitation. Invite God in. We wake up with agendas. We wake up with things we wanna consume. We wake up with things we have to do. We wake up with people we have to see, meetings we have to keep, errands we have to run. We have a job to do. We have class to study for. We have all of these things going on. We wake up with an agenda. What if we started the day inviting God into all of it? God, I'm about to have this conversation today. I think it's gonna be very, very difficult. There's no way I can be loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, without you being, there's no way. And there's no way I'm going to be a good example for my company, let alone you, Lord, if you don't show up. God, I'm really angry with this family member. Can you help me navigate this? God, whatever it is, invite him into it. And then return when you drift. Not if. When? No one is able to stay 100% focused 100% of the time. So when you drift and you get busy doing the thing and the hustle and bustle, don't feel guilty. But when the Holy Spirit nudges you and says, hey, don't forget, I wanna help you through this. I wanna get you through this. I want you to bear much fruit. Remember that God is inviting you in. He wants you to bear that fruit and return to him. Return. It doesn't matter if it's when you're super, super busy, or even if it's like when you have a moment to doom scroll and veg out for a minute. When God nudges you and says, hey, remember, I wanna help you in this moment, just return to him. He's not trying to bust your chops. Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation for those in Christ. He's not trying to condemn you, he's trying to help you. He doesn't want you to wither, he wants you to bear fruit. So when you feel that nudge, return to him. And then end the day with inspection. Not right or wrong, not black or white, but just recap the day. Thank him, learn from him. Ask for forgiveness. Talk with, like slow down enough to like talk with him. And then slow down in the quiet and listen. Because maybe he'll point out, hey, next time when we have that meeting, how about we take a deep breath and we just for a moment, you and I connect before you go in through that door. Hey, next time we have that conversation, how about we grab, he'll walk you through those things. If we quiet ourselves enough and we remain in him, he will begin to actually work with us to bear that fruit inside of us. If you wanna make these three things super simple, start your day with invite and end it with inspect. Invite and inspect every day. And bring him into the conversation. Invite him in and let him show you how it's going and where to make tweaks and where to walk with him more closely when you need it the most. But Jesus wants to interact with you. He wants to help you with the internal transformation that you're longing for. He wants to help you find that meaningful, eternal, lasting purpose. But for us to bear any fruit in any of those areas, we must remain in him. And he promises that if we do that, that he will remain in you and that you will bear much fruit. Now I know that all of us are being hit with this very, very uniquely. Because individually speaking, we have different things that we're desiring, different internal, external things, and we're all at various levels of how close we feel connected to Jesus. It's an individual conversation right now, but here's the universal thing. It's all of us. Jesus wants all of us to draw in close. The scripture says, if you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. It's a promise. So we close out all of our teachings here at Grace with some prayer. And then some opportunity to respond with him with some music. And I want you to use this time between your heart and his to begin to interact. God, here's where I'm compartmentalizing. Here's where I'm trying to keep you away. God, what would happen if I let you into that part of my life? God, here's how I feel about the conveyor belt of all the things coming my way. Whatever that is, would you pray with God now? And would you interact with him in a unique and individual way? Why don't we start? You can pray with me. Jesus, thank you for your promises, your goodness. Thank you for your invitation. Lord, you're not pointing this stuff out so that we feel bad about ourselves. You're pointing ourselves out so that we can find hope. You don't want us to wither. You want us to have life. You want us to have the fullness of who you are. You bring life and you bring it to the full. God, you want us to be able to have it today. You want us to be able to progress and grow and change and transform over the weeks to come. And you want us to bring us home for eternity, to be with you for in heaven forever. God, help us to lean into you and to trust you, to stick with it, to remain consistently in proximity with you, to have the short conversations, the quick acknowledgments throughout the day, to get into your scriptures looking for how you're helping us and to share that with other people, to not only grow ourselves, but to help them begin to see the goodness of what you're doing inside of us. God, would you meet us here in this moment individually, but trusting that we can go to each other because we're sharing the experience together. Guide us, lead us. And as we learn to remain more and more in you, would you bear in us more and more fruit? And it's your name we pray, Jesus.